made it to 12 midnight last night. Not very many, I'll say that. How many watched the Peach Bowl? Oh, yeah, that was a good evening. Good evening. Well, welcome today. We've got a few announcements here to make this morning. One is a week from today, don't forget this, a week from today, can you believe that Dean and Cheryl Ramsey have been married 50 years? They're not here today. They wanted to make the announcement that next Sunday they are going to provide, after church, a lunch. And at first Dean was saying, well, you know, people could bring a side dish to that, they would provide whatever. And before I got done talking to him, Cheryl stepped in and said, no bringing of anything from anybody. They will provide everything for next Sunday. So if you can hang around, or to know that that they're going to be here next Sunday and celebrate the 50th wedding anniversary, that would be a wonderful thing for them. And any of you that know Dean and Cheryl, but they did, and the R&D said it was like 70 degrees below zero wind chill, I think it was, when they got married. And so I said, well, it won't be that cold come next Sunday. So that is going to be taking place next week, so keep that in mind. Not a whole lot taking place this week here at Harbor of Joy, but the ladies, that should be the ladies, it could be men as well. There's a prayer group that does meet at 9:30 on Tuesday in the library of Harbor of Joy here. And anyone is welcome to come be a part of that. And there will be no lunch with the bunch this Thursday. We will not meet until January 12th. There's a reason for that. We're going to be studying the life of Joseph, and I'll be leading that study. You can bring a sack lunch. You don't have to bring a sack lunch if you don't want to. And we go from noon to 1 o'clock, and we're more than glad to be a part of that. Also want to mention that the ladies will be starting a Bible study on the life of Ruth. Now, what was Boaz like when before he was married? He was ruthless, that's right. So we're going to come hear a lot about Ruth in that book. And so if you would like a Bible study book, see Cheryl Hessinius. And Cheryl, I believe, is out. There she is, right there.
Yeah.
Does everybody know who Cheryl is? I mean, Cheryl, just stand up, just so they know who you are. If you need a book, you can talk to her. That's what I just wanted to get to.
I'll order them this week.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for leading it as well, Cheryl. What you got planned there. I also want to remind you that to be praying for Pat Garrels. Pat's having hip surgery this week at Spirit Lake. And so, keep her in your prayers. And for some of you that asked about Tammy Ebel and Mark, they did not come here on Christmas Eve because I talked to them and told them to stay home. That's why they weren't here. I said there's people coughing and there's a crowd of people. We don't know how many will be here, but the weather wasn't all that great. So I said, just stay home. No chance of taking anything. So they did not come. For those of you that were wondering if they came or not, or why weren't they here type of thing, that's the reason why I told us to stay home so she can get her strength better than where it's at right now. But she is at home. She's back at Nesterville. So think of that. You know, a kidney transplant, liver transplant, and in the hospital for close to a year. She's back home finally. And so she needs to regain her strength, which is pretty obvious to that. Thinking of this year, it's already starting 2023 off to a good start. This time last year, I was in the hospital.
Yeah,
all right. And I'm not going anywhere with anybody for a long time. So, but yeah, I was in the hospital with COVID this time last year. So it's good to be here at the beginning of this year. So I also want to just relay to you that the family of Dave Convey and Jan, who said Jim is here, her son is here, Carol is one. And just sorry, our sympathies go out to you as a family with the passing of Dave. And we miss him. We miss him, say we miss Elmer and Walt and you name them, you know. Vern, you know, is not here. And Dwayne, just missed my time with Dwayne Anderson as well, but Mickey's here. Let's see. Aren't you Mickey?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, there you are. Wow. The one who I learned what a charcuterie is. I have no idea what a charcuterie is. Anybody here that does not know what a charcuterie is? Hey, I'm not the only one. I'll tell you what it is after church today. And also just want to remind you that Saturday is a men's breakfast. Open to any guys that want to come to Perkins here in Milford at 7:30 on Saturday morning. And then we'll come over here at about 9 o'clock if we start taking down the decoration for Christmas. Being Christmas is behind us, we might as well get back to kind of where things used to be, get rid of some of the tree and candles and lights, wreaths, those kind of things, put them in storage for later on this year. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can come at any time Saturday morning here at the church. We've got the nativity outside for the, hopefully the guys will take care of that. And Mr. Holman, Allen, said that how are we going to put those in the garage because of the big snowbank in front of the door. So I said, no problem. Joel Simonton will remove that snowbank. We'll figure that one out, I guess. But that's all the announcements that I have to share with you this morning. Glad that you are here today. You're visiting. Special welcome to you. And we're going to have communion a little bit later on as well. And we're going to talk about that when that time comes. Let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beginning of another year. Hard to believe that 2023 is here. But I'm grateful, Lord, to be able to see that there are people here. It's good to see that there are those that want to be here and love to start the year off on this first day of 2023 here, Lord, to be able to have communion with you and to just be together on this first day of the year. It doesn't happen very often, and so it's a special day in that way, and it's always special, Lord, knowing that we can be together to worship you. So we just pray that you be with those that are on the prayer list here today and those that have been mentioned today. And as we go into this new year, may this be a new year that we get to know you in ways we haven't known you for a long time. And may you nudge us, not just along the way this year, where you want to use us in the life of someone else to bring them to Jesus Christ, and to be able to just be a light, to plant a seed of Jesus in someone else's life. So we just give you the praise and the glory and thank you for all that are here today. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing another song.
Aren't we going to do the call to worship?
I think that we'll do that before we sing that song. Yes. We'll do the call of worship. It says this. Comes from Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Daddy." Abba is the Greek word for that, Daddy. Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And also we realize that whenever it mentions son, it's also including the ladies as daughters as well. So don't get that all mixed up. And you're also included in what Paul says here. Now we will say, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus."
Why don't you who always agrees.
And listen to Karen, not me. Perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take some time in silence. We can just spend some time in talking to the Lord this morning. If it's confessing our sins, if it is praising Him, let us go and do that at this time. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our enemies as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways,
to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Another song we're going to sing together this morning is called We Three Kings.
We
Wonderful, good. We did have Christmas. I think we had probably one of the best Christmases ever. Even though it wasn't Christmas. It was during the week. But it was just fun to be with our kids and grandkids. And, you know, they didn't fight too much, which is a good thing. But you talk about noise level. I think I'm getting old. You know? And so yesterday after they left, we were like, it's so nice and quiet. So, well, I hope you had a good Christmas. And I just invite you to stand as we hear what God's word comes from today. The message comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Matthew 2, 19 through 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archie, I can't pronounce his name, I call him Archie, was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is always special to us. Lord, it's kind of what I call the real meat and potatoes here this morning. It's what you say that is more important than anything else that is said and done. So may your word come alive for us this morning, this first day of the new year, and speak to our hearts and lead us closer to Jesus than when we came in today. Thank you for your word, that we can read it, that we can hear it, and that we can receive it in our hearts by faith. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the very interesting things about Joseph, he never says anything in the scriptures. He's there, but you can never quote Joseph, the husband of Mary. He doesn't say anything. And if you notice that whenever God wants to get his attention, he sends an angel and talks to Joseph while he's sleeping. Most men like that, and like to sleep. But it's just an interesting thing, a little tidbit about Joseph. You don't know anything about him other than he is Mary's husband. He was a carpenter. But as far as saying anything to Jesus, his son, or to his wife, there's nothing there at all. So the journey, as we look at this coming year, and the title today is A New Journey. What do you think it was like for those that wanted to fly home for Christmas this year? Aren't you glad you didn't go on Southwest? You know, Joseph and Mary, they kind of had a curveball thrown at them too. They were kind of just minding their own business, and all of a sudden the census comes up where they had to go to Bethlehem, because that's where his hometown was. And that was about 70 miles away, and they had to walk to go to Bethlehem. And Mary, you know, she's big as a house, close to it, being pregnant. And of all the times that you'd have to go in that fashion, or to go in that direction, and that long of ways, at that time of the year, Joseph and Mary went there because that is where they needed to go to be a part of the census. And then when they get to Bethlehem, what did they find out? No room in the inn. And so they had to find a place which became a stable, like a barn, where the animals were. And then she had to go in, well, then she started going into labor, and she gave birth to a son in that stable or in that barn. And then their plans were changed again. And it was in a dream where the angel said to Joseph, get out of Bethlehem, go to Egypt. And so Joseph took Mary and Jesus, went to Egypt, and we don't know where he went in Egypt. We don't know how long he was in Egypt, but he stayed there until the angel came to him and said, those who wanted to kill your son are now dead. And that's when the angel came to Joseph while he was in Egypt to tell him to go back to Israel. And it says here that when Herod the Great had died, well, then he left what he was all about to his sons. Herod the Great, you know, he was called great, but he really was not a great guy. He had killed three of his previous sons. The ones that were living, the eldest son is Archie, and he was not liked by the people because he was just like his dad. And he only was there for 2 years, but we could see that Joseph was afraid when he heard who had taken the place of Herod the Great. It was his eldest son, Archie, and he was afraid to go there, and so he didn't want to go back to that area. That's, of course, that's Bethlehem is not that far from Jerusalem, but that was under the jurisdiction of Archie. And so Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they went up north to the Sea of Galilee area, and a little ways off to the west of the Sea of Galilee is a little town called Nazareth. And then, of course, that's kind of where he comes from. But did you know that Nazareth, to be called a Nazarene, is a derogatory word? If you came from that area, you would be looked upon as a second-class citizen. I never knew that before. But anyone who came from Nazareth, or from the Galilean area, the Sea of Galilee, they were not looked upon by those in Jerusalem as, you know, people like them. They were a lower class of people. And so that's why we hear when, was it Philip? Yeah, Philip went and told Nathanael, who's one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, that Philip said he's found the one that Moses talked about and the ones that the prophets have said that was coming. He was talking about Jesus and he wanted Nathanael to come. And it was Nathanael who said, Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Remember that? So it was that stigma that was there. If you came from Nazareth, you were just, you know, I was kind of like not the part of Israel where you want to come from. And oftentimes throughout the Gospels, we hear that Jesus of Nazareth, you know, that was a title that he had, where he came from, Jesus of Nazareth. Which to us was like no big deal. But that time in history, it was not a good deal. It was just like, you know, you got into the bus and your skin was a different color, you had to go sit in the back, or you had to go into a different restroom. You go back to those days in the 60s. You know, if you lived close to a reservation in America, you know, you heard the word half-breed. You would hear things like that. That would kind of go along with the way they looked at those that were from Nazareth. Nazareth today, it's not just a little village as it was back when Jesus was born and went there with his dad to be a carpenter. Nazareth today is over 200,000 people. They've got a brand new, it's a dark Catholic cathedral built there recently. And it was there where Angel Gabriel came to talk to Mary, saying, would you be willing to have the Son of God? Would, you know, you're going to be pregnant. And she said, be unto me as you want it to be. You know, she was willing to do that. And so it's called the Annunciation is what they call that cathedral. And we were there a couple of times on that in the last 10 years. And we were there. And so Nazareth today is a mixture of Muslim people as well as Jews and as Christians. It's a Nazareth where you've got the place where Jesus was in the synagogue, and he said, today the scripture that you read from Isaiah was fulfilled in your hearing, that they took him out of the synagogue and wanted to throw him off the cliff. That's just right outside Nazareth. It's called the precipice. Mount Precipice is what they call it, and it's at least a good 100-foot drop, if not more, straight down. For the one who pushed Jesus off. Of course, Jesus walked through them because it was not his time. So the journey that Jesus has gone on in his young life, not remembering probably a lot of it, but it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he begins his ministry, where he goes to the Sea of Galilee area. And Bethsaida and Capernaum become a very important place for him and his disciples. We're on the Sea of Galilee. But what's interesting in our scripture reading here this morning as well, and Matthew gives us, is that, you know, there's a fulfillment that takes place of where Jesus is born in and was brought up in Nazareth. This is something that's spoken about by the prophets in the Old Testament. It's kind of like it's just kind of there, a little part just there, but it goes along where God's always had a plan of the journey that Jesus was going to take, just like he has a plan for you too. Now, the older that you get, you kind of look back in your life, you can kind of see the plan a little bit more clearly than you can when you're a young person. But just look, you know, take some time and just look a little bit at your own life here this morning of how God has worked in your life or led you from where you once grew up to where you are today. And would you have ever thought that you would be where you are today if you were back pre-teens? How many of you knew that you would be living near Milford, Iowa? I sure wouldn't have thought that. I would have said, where's Iowa? You know, I didn't know what was on the west side of the Missouri River. Because we had to milk cows. We couldn't go very far. We had to be home in the mountains. And we just stayed in a closed little circle of like 25 miles. To go to Minot, North Dakota was a big deal. To go to Bismarck was even bigger because you got to see the Capitol. We never saw a building that big in our lives. It'd be like the Beverly Hillbillies going to Hollywood. First time I saw the Capitol, we always saw it on, kind of on TV, it was black and white. And we go like, wow, that's a pretty good building. But when we saw it in person, we went to Bismarck for school, get clothes for school and things like that. And we lived in a car and looked up like, and like all the buildings of Bismarck seemed to be so huge. Houses were like three stories high. And you're like, man alive, this is right something. Of course, today it doesn't look like that at all. It's just big. Nothing looks that big anymore. It's because we've been around the world a little bit to see some things that have changed your whole perspective. But getting back to where you were when you were pre-teens, where you grew up. Did you ever think you'd be doing what you have done throughout your life, or to be retired here in this area, or be living in this area? Is that ever on your radar screen? I know Janet was yours. I think you grew up here. You came here a lot, didn't you? Are you one of the few? I didn't even know that the Great Lakes of Iowa even existed. I didn't know what it even meant. I thought the Great Lakes were the Great Lakes of Minnesota, Michigan, and going that direction. But there's Great Lakes in Iowa? I would never heard that. Never heard that until our daughter moved here, lived here, and we came to see them when they had grandkids. I never ever thought of moving. The journey that you go on, and you see God's hand in it, there's a purpose and a reason in it. And we don't always see that. But it's good to be able to look back and say, God's always been faithful. He's always been a step or two steps or even more than that ahead of us. He knows where we need to be. So prophecy is fulfilled where Jesus would live. He would be a Nazarene. Don't get that confused with a Nazarite. There's a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite vow is you would never cut your hair. You could never eat or drink anything from the fruit of the vine. You had to wear certain kinds of clothing. I mean, it was really strict kind of stuff. Samson grew up as a Nazarite to take a Nazarite vow. And do you know what happened once he got his hair cut off? At Delilah. Well, you can read about that in the book of Judges. But Jesus' ministry did not start until he was 30 years old. So that gave him some time to learn the trade of his dad, to spend time with him, to do things with him. And yet, we don't know whatever happened to Joseph because he's only kind of seen here in the beginning of Jesus' life. And we don't hear anything about him. He's probably at the temple. It was the last we hear anything about Joseph because they got separated and Jesus stayed on in Jerusalem for about 3 days and they're looking for him. They couldn't find him because there were so many people that came to Jerusalem on the day of the Passover type of a thing that he got kind of lost in the crowd. But then they asked him, well, where have you been, son? Oh, I've just been at the temple talking to the elders. Religious, religious leaders of their day, and the religious leaders were just kind of like blown away of this young kid who knows so much about theology, things of God that they had never heard before. So God's always had a plan to restore and to redeem mankind. Being a sinner, as we all are, to think that you can have peace with God someday, or there's a way to have peace with God, there's a way to have your sins forgiven, it was through his own son who had to go to the cross and die for you, for your guilt, and for my guilt, that he did so. And rose again on the third day to show us that there is a new life, a different way to live that this world cannot give to us. And so the plan goes on. And we know if we read the end of the book in Revelation, we know who wins. Those who believe in Jesus will win. But I want to just share with you just a closing. Some words from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the people of Israel in his day, and he was told from the very beginning from the Lord of saying, you're going to preach to people who will not listen to anything you say. I mean, I can't imagine it. But I can't even understand it. But he tells this, the Lord says this in Jeremiah 6:16. It says, stand at the crossroads and look. We all come to a crossroads in our lives at some point in time where you have to make a decision. You will go like, well, which way do I go? What do I do here? And here, the Lord answers this question. He's Ask for the ancient paths, the ways of old, the things that have been done the way they've been done for times, for centuries ago. You're at a crossroads. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But the people at this time, if you continue to read in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, are people who said, we will not walk in these ways. We will not go that direction. It sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? We'll do it our way, not what God says. So we're on the way to go, my friends. Hold on to the ancient paths, the ancient marking stones that were used to be set up and it meant something to the people where they'd see these rocks. And yet there were people who wanted to move those markers to different places. And God always said, don't move them. They were put there for a purpose, for a reason. Don't move them. But the people said, well, we can move them. And we will move them. And they're still trying to move markers today against what the Bible says. Jeremiah 29:11, any of you have heard this verse before? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now this is the Lord speaking. God has a plan for you. And as we begin this new year of 2023, God has a plan already about this year that we don't know about. But it's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. It's plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me. Those are good words. Good words. I pray, and I hope that you will find that this is what you will do yourselves in this coming year. Always keep your eyes looking on the Lord, and to always know that His ways are the best, even though life gets confusing or complicated, or we hear things that just go like, what in the world is going on here? Always go back to what God says and follow Him. Follow Him. And that's what I want to do as pastor of this church. Our joy is that we follow God, we follow His Word. Let's keep focused on what we have and focus on in the past. And continue to love on people. Love on people. That's what God does. He loved on you. And that was a big thing to do. Some of you, I don't know why He would even want to love you. I don't know why He didn't want to love me. But He does. He continues to do so that we would follow Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words that you give to us that are the same today as they were yesterday and will be in the future. They don't change. Even when we come in the presence of people, Lord, that want to change things and make them what you would never approve of. Help us to stay close to you and always follow you. Thank you for the people of this church that had to take a different journey one day, or maybe it was the same journey they've always been on, but they knew that they needed to walk in a way that was different than what they saw was happening in the church that they were from. It wasn't an easy thing to do. It wasn't an easy walk, but nothing really is easy. But when we have you in our sights and we follow you, we hold on to your hand, Lord. We just sometimes just have to say I don't understand, but I do know that you've got this. And you're never wrong. You're always right. And so help us, Lord, as we go into this new year, that we have you in our hearts. We are finding ourselves to have a hunger and a thirst for your word. And that we have a deep desire to share Jesus Christ with people who have no idea who he is or have a wrong idea about him. So use this day as a beginning of what is to come to bring praise and glory to your name. Amen. Okay, communion. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. Forgive me for those that know how we do communion here. I just say this for those that are here that probably don't know how we do it. I just want you to know that you do not have to be a member of Harbor of Joy to take communion. It's an open communion that we practice. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, it's his invitation that we go by. We come and receive from him. We've got two stations. One is down here. The first station is you can come and receive the elements that come here and you go back to be seated once the ushers have giving you the nod to come forward. If you'd like to go up onto the railing and to kneel, or if you want to go up there just to stand and receive communion there and spend some time with the Lord, you can do that as long as you want. You know, there's no one that's going to be pushing you or saying, okay, time's up, somebody get you on the shoulder, or whatever, like, okay, get over, or get out of here. That's not going to happen. It's just time that's going to be very serious between you and the Lord. And that's just for you. If you could. That's what you'd like to do. We do have wafers that are gluten-free. They're in a little cellophane, little package. I mean, they are there. If they don't, that's what you need. If you can't find one, tell the one who's serving you that you'd like gluten-free, and they'll make sure they can get that little packet so that you can open and partake of that if you'd like. There's grape juice. And wine. If you want grape juice, just hold your hand out like this to the servers, and they'll see that you'll get the grape juice versus the wine. Wine is red, the grape juice is more of a clear color in the middle of the tray. So I think I kind of cover everything with that. And it's like, you know, our tradition as Lutherans is that, you know, if you've been through confirmation and you understand what communion is, you can come and partake. But the kids can come. You can invite the kids to come prior to confirmation, and I'll bless them. I'll just give them a little blessing, but they won't be able to receive the elements because that's just something that is very important that you know what you're doing and what you're going to be, if you're going to take it, know what you're doing with it. The reason I say that is because it is the only one. It's the only sacrament where there's a judgment associated with communion. That's why we're kind of a little bit cautious about it, because it says, Paul says it, that Some have died, some have gotten sick, because they've taken communion without knowing or in an unworthy way. And so therefore, when do you know if you're ever worthy to take communion? Well, when our eyes are on Jesus, it's Jesus who makes us worthy. And that's why it's important to have a relationship with him when we come to receive communion. And we don't want anything to happen to you. That's why it's only one that's different. Baptism is different than communion, but God does it all in both of them. And so with that, I will do the institution here, what we're here for. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he had given thanks. He broke it. And he said to his disciples to take and eat, and he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus then took the cup. He gave thanks and he offered it to his disciples, and he said to each of them, well, he said to them all, "Drink all of it. This is my blood given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So that's why we come. That's the invitation. Jesus said to his disciples, he continued to do this until the day that he comes the second time as well. So whoever is going to be the ushers, whoever's going to help serve, you can come at this time, and we will have our communion service together. our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Just before our last song, I failed to tell Pastor Tim this, but keep Kathy Vermees in your prayers. She fell on her back step and sprained her ankle. So keep her in your prayers, too. This last song is an old hymn from the Green Hymnal that a lot of you will know and recognize, I think, because we used to sing on the Green Hymnal. As with gladness, men of old. Why don't you stand again?
Peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.